The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
You're right, it's Friday. Some of you are headed home after a whole week of work, and now you've got plenty of honeydews. That's always the case at the Harper household, and I know it may be true with you. We're glad to have you on this day, and we're going to take the first segment and kind of talk about some spiritual things that's going on in the United States that, you know, I hope will be a blessing to you, and pray about those things. Alex is unable to be with us today. He's in Flint, Michigan, or I should say on his way to Flint, Michigan. He texted me and said he'd not be able to get there in time, so he wanted us to pray for him. He'll be ministering there. So if you're up in that area, I know we got some folks in Michigan that listens, Flint, Michigan. I don't know which church, but he will be there this weekend. And today, here with us is Jim Stanley. He is with us yesterday. We had a great time, and looking forward to it today. Jim, thank you for sitting in, brother.
Well, it's my privilege as always, Bert. I enjoy it. I enjoy being here. I enjoy being on with you and on with Alex as well. Don't misunderstand that, but I'm always happy to be called in off the bench.
Well, it is a joy to have you ready to go at a moment's notice. When Alex is a part of the equation, you've got to be ready at any time. I think Paul may have had him in mind when he said be instant and in season.
Season and out.
Yeah, if you're going to work with Alex and he's going to be the co-host, you better be ready to go at a moment's notice.
Absolutely. And, you know, part of it's not Alex's fault.
No.
He tries to plan these things out. But, folks, we live in a day and age when you never can tell when your airplane's going to be delayed for any given reason.
Can you imagine his frequent flyer miles?
I mean, I'm just hoping, you know, I'm hoping he'll send me some of those because I want to go to California sometime this summer, and I've checked the tickets, and I'll accept any bonus points. So.
Well, today, you and I talked about the program, and there's several things that we wanted to do because we feel like this is important. It's a biblical view. We start out with the Word of God. But we also look at the issues, and one of the greatest things that's happening right now in America is in D.C. and all across America, March for Life. And I've gotten on and looked at it quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Heard our vice president. I knew that Kellyanne Conway, one of the chief advisors for the president, was there. And it was a beautiful day in D.C., and it was the parts that I saw about the march, it was well attended. And I would just say everybody was behaving well. No burnt cars, no broken windows.
How do you have a protest in the United States without tearing something up?
I
didn't see a whole lot of trash on the road behind them either.
I was watching for that because, you know, I heard this one guy. He says, here's how I judge protest: how much garbage is left when they're through.
Right.
And they pick up after them, says, they must have had the same mom and dad I had.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, if I didn't pick up after myself, I was in trouble, Jim.
Absolutely. Yeah, I guarantee it. Well, as you mentioned, one of the things that we're talking about is the March for Life. And I know by now it shouldn't, but the mainstream media never fails to drive me crazy with this kind of stuff. We can't be pro-life. We have to be anti-abortion. And I think they've got it wrong. What they should do, and I think if this were the case, if those who were for abortion had to start using the moniker of pro-death, I think we'd see some change. It wouldn't roll off the tongue quite as easily.
I've noticed this about people who promote sin. They have to give new definitions.
Yeah.
Just look at that concerning abortion, concerning even homosexuality,
right?
And they gambling,
you know. Yeah, it's gaming. It's not gambling.
And they have to change the definitions. They really do, to make themselves not feel the guilt.
Right.
Now they would say, "Oh, it's misplaced guilt put on by the traditions of the past." Well, a lot of those past traditions came from the Bible.
They did,
and there should be some guilt in it. And But we shouldn't be surprised. They're going to people are going to do one of two things with sin. They're either going to justify it or confess it. Well, and they're in the business of justifying sin.
Well, here's one of the captions that's there. And this is a picture of Vice President Pence, and it says, Vice President Mike Pence took the stage at the anti-abortion March for Life. They couldn't just leave it at the March for Life, right? Because, you know, they're not carrying signs that says we're anti-abortion. They're carrying signs saying we are pro-life. And folks, let me tell you, it's not just the life of the baby. It's not the life of that preborn child. It's the life of the mom, too.
Better believe it.
Because some of these ladies that are walking in this march have walked through abortion and have made the choice, and now they regret it. And that's not just from guilt.
Amen.
That's from a sense of something hasn't been quite right. They felt like they've been missing something ever since. And so we don't talk about politics a whole lot on this show, but when it comes to the culture, when it comes to some of the issues that we face, pro-life is chief among them.
It is chief. It's at the highest rung of the ladder.
Yeah.
And you're talking about the ladies. My wife and I, after pastoring for close to 40 years, the number of people that's come through our home and through our office that's gone through abortion, and now they're not through any guilt that we put on them, just from hearing a baby cry and seeing it, and it plunging them into despair. We've seen the ravages of it in women's lives.
When you see some of the babies being dedicated at church, and you realize that, and now when you accompany a friend to go have that sonogram done, you know, our ultrasound. Thank you. And the new technology that they have, where you can see the baby swimming in the womb, you know, literally just in there and moving around. And I think probably in the last few years, one of the pictures that has really caught the hearts of most Americans has been where the doctor was going in to perform surgery to help save the baby's life, and the baby reached up and took the doctor's finger.
Never will forget that photo.
Man.
Let me share this with you. We have grandchildren. We have one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter-in-law and Jennifer, love her. She and Mike are having their second child, be our fifth grandson. We don't know if it's a girl or a boy, but they had the ultrasound. She sent the picture of that little baby to me and by my phone, and they said it already favors its daddy.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reality.
Yeah.
And it is something, and it is a hill. It is a hill that we are willing to die on.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate that.
All right.
Vice President, yeah.
We do. We have a cut from where Vice President Mike Pence was at the pro-life rally today and had the opportunity to speak to the group. And Brent's going to play that for us now.
On behalf of President Donald Trump,
Brent,
my wife
that.
Karen, our daughter Charlotte.
Pause that. I'm sorry. On behalf of President Donald Trump, I honestly don't mean to throw rocks at folks and anything, but I don't remember anybody being there on behalf of President Clinton. I don't remember anyone being there on behalf of President George H.W. Bush. I don't remember anyone being there in any of the 8 years on behalf of President Barack Obama.
If they were there, it was a lot less. Now, I think they did have some lower level.
But they weren't speaking. They weren't able to speak. Yeah. They weren't allowed to speak. Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying, is that here we have the Vice President of the United States on behalf of the President. And you and I talked about this earlier. There's no way Mike Pence does this without President Trump saying it's okay.
Amen. Praise
Play
God.
It, Brent. I'm sorry.
On behalf of President Donald Trump, my wife, Karen, our daughter, Charlotte, I'd like to welcome you all to Washington, D.C. for the 44th Annual March for Life. It's a good day. And it's the best day I've ever seen for the March of Life in more ways than one. I'm deeply humbled to stand before you today. Deeply humbled to be the first Vice President of the United States to ever have the privilege to attend this historic gathering. More than 240 years ago, our founders wrote words that have echoed through the ages. They declared these truths to be self-evident, that we are, all of us, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 44 years ago, our Supreme Court turned away from the first of these timeless ideals. But today, three generations hence, because of all of you and the many thousands who stand with us in marches like this all across the nation, life is winning again in America.
Thank you, Brent. And that was Vice President Pence speaking. You notice he didn't call it an anti-abortion rally. He called it the historic March for Life.
March for Life.
And the words that he relayed there, I think, were very telling. There were some other comments that he made that we didn't take the speech in its entirety. Because that's not what we do on this program.
But is so important.
That's right.
I think I could count on both hands, since I've been doing this in 5 years, that we took time out of, you know, just Bible study and taking, questions, that we would point toward something like this. When I'm as religious liberty, we've done that before when it had to do with Chick-fil-A.
Right.
We've done it before when it came time about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And these are, Jim,
They're extraordinary
yes.
matters.
And this is one that is positive. In place of us reacting negatively mm-hmm. toward what somebody said, this is good stuff.
Get on board with it.
And did you hear the clapping after he said, by our Creator.
Yeah.
He took special emphasis to say that way. And so I got another call today from a lady in Virginia, and she was saying, you know, we've heard you on Exploring the Word, said she loves the program, and we appreciate that. People have told us that, but said you pray, and you prayed for the president and vice president. She wanted us to pray specifically for the first lady. And I thought, and you know, what an ideal opportunity, especially in the second lady, I guess, Ms. Pence. But these are important times that we pray for them.
It absolutely is. And when you think of Mrs. Trump and that she's raising Barron, their son, who is 10 years old and who got hammered by the press right after the inauguration and during the inauguration, it's one of those things there that she needs our prayers. And then, of course, Mrs. Pence, graceful lady that she is, and another time that we're able to serve. And we need to serve them in prayer.
One more thing about prayer, and I want to do this. The number of believers that have been named by our president to be on his staff, I just found this overwhelming, the number that, and I shared this with you, David Lane, who is a friend of our minister. Matter of fact, we were together at one time, and now he's able to do these pastoring pew things on his own. But Don Wildman helped him get started he did a lot
and
of other
still
people.
A good friend of
still
the ministry.
Still a good friend of the ministry. He gave this, and I just got it just a few minutes ago, the number of Christians, believers, who are on the named cabinet. And I wanted to run this past, and then we're going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking a little extra time in this, but we'll catch up. Mike Pence. I'm just going to name the names and not necessarily the places they're serving. Betsy DeVos, these are all believers. Jeff Sessions, Ben Carson, Rick Perry, Mike Pompeo, I try to get that correct, Scott Pruitt, Dan Coates, Tom Price, Sonny Perdue. And then he said also Ryan Priebus, the chief of staff, is a Christian.
Yeah. And the thing here is we don't know how many other staff members are. These are senior advisors to the president, pretty much his inner circle, if you will. Some of these are going to be cabinet members. Some of them, as you mentioned, are his chief of staff and others. So we don't know, you know, we don't know how many other believers are there. But I know this. I know that our folks will pray for the president. We'll pray for the vice president and the leadership team. But I also I appreciate the lady from Virginia and the compassion there to pray for the ladies who support these men, because it's not easy for
it's
them.
It's not easy. Well, let's do that, and then we'll go to the break. Father, I thank you that we can call upon you. And again, I thank you for what you're doing and in our country right now, the March for Life and what you have done there. We praise you and thank you. Thank you for the safety. We pray for the continued safety as they march and as many return home. Thank you for the president sending the vice president there to speak and his advisors. We pray, Father, that we would have a culture of life and not a culture of death. We pray, Father, for the cabinet, especially those that are believers, that biblical worldview that you have for them, that would help them to make those decisions that are so important for the families, we pray. But specifically, we pray for the First Lady, that you would help her. Yes, he has grown children, but a president and First Lady has a 10-year-old son, Barron. We pray for him. We pray for Vice President Pence, his family, especially his wife. Give them grace. And, Father, may they just seek you. May they feel your presence in every way. And, Father, that you'd protect them. And, Father, help us to turn to you. We thank you for our president, but we turn to you.
Amen.
And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Folks, you can get your calling queue at 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 as Exploring the Word continues.
The rapid response arm of 8 Days of Hope is responding to tornado victims in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. On January 21st, a tornado severely damaged hundreds of homes and killed 4 people. Will you please volunteer to help Hattiesburg residents? Here's 8 Days of Hope director, Steve Tiber.
We need your help today. I mean, it's that simple. We're looking for people who just want to serve others. You know, you don't have to be super gifted. Every disaster gives an opportunity for a believer to share a glimpse of Jesus Christ. You know, the best sermon I ever heard was the one I saw. We're just there to love others as God commands us. And here's where you and I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
To volunteer to help with Hattiesburg Tornado Relief, please visit 8daysofhope.com. Financial donations are also needed to support this ministry effort. To give, please visit 8daysofhope.com and pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this devastating tornado. 8 Days of Hope is a nonprofit Christian ministry.
There's an old saying that says, revenge is sweet. But Dr. Tony Evans says it can turn everything sour, especially your relationship with God. He'll tell us about a much healthier option today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you are seeking revenge, if vengeance is yours, and you're seeking to pay back, forgiveness has not occurred. Because when forgiveness occurs, you keep no record. Regardless of how you feel, because you could be up or down relative to what happened to you, it is the decision to no longer credit to the account of the offender. When you and I sin against God or sin against somebody else, it's like a cash register going off and a debt is incurred. It doesn't mean you justify what went wrong. It doesn't mean you excuse it. It doesn't mean you pretend like it didn't happen. But it means you make a decision to no longer relate to that person based on the infraction. So don't let the fact that the person who has hurt you has neither asked for forgiveness, desired forgiveness, don't care about forgiveness, because you're not willing to be held hostage to the offense. And therefore, by an act of your decision, you release them so you can keep going to your destiny. Because nothing will hold you hostage like unforgiveness. If you do not unilaterally forgive, even though the person hasn't asked for it, then you're held hostage by something you can never change.
Learn more about what God wants you to know as you navigate the unexpected twists and turns of life. Check out Dr. Evan's teaching series, Joseph, Detours to Destiny, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Stanley, sitting in for Dr. Alex McFarland. And did you notice the song, His Truth Will Ever Remain?
Amen.
You know, as we're coming back from that, we are exploring the Word, and that's one of the things that we want to do. But I like how that song reaffirmed, because what we've been talking about is part of God's Word.
You bet.
You know, and so it may sound a little political, and that's okay. You know, we're fine with that, because AFR exists to be the voice for the American Family Association. And one of the things that is in, if you want to talk about platforms, if you will, but one of the things that's in our mission and that is at the heart of our mission is bringing our culture back to its moral foundation.
Amen. That's part of our mission.
Where we are adrift. And so when you talk about the March of Life, you're talking about something that's dear to the heart of God, because it's life. Here's what our president said earlier today. Around 10:30 or so this morning, he said the hashtag March for Life is so important. To all of you marching, you have my full support.
Amen.
And, you know, again, I don't remember the last president that had...
They didn't come on that way.
No.
Let me share something else in Vice President Pence's speech. He said next week our president will be announcing his nominee to the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. and it would be a blessing to the life community.
Amen.
And so we're praising God for that, Jim.
Amen. Well, let's go to the phones, and you're welcome to call us if you want to at 888-589-8840. We'll take your Bible questions, but since we broached the subject of the March for Life, we'll take questions and comments about that as well. 888-589-8840. And let's talk to Dean, calling from Texas. Dean, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you, guys. I appreciate you both. I just wanted to, on the whole deal where the left and their media spins things in a negative connotation, calling our March for Life, refusing to call it that and calling it an anti-abortion march. In this one case, it's something that, that I can stomach and I can accept. Cause you know what? As being pro-life, I am anti-abortion, because I equate abortion with the senseless murder of a child inside the womb. And they're always going to do that to us. But in this particular situation, I'm definitely anti-abortion, and I don't mind saying so.
Well, Josh, Dean, I appreciate that, but that's not please understand, I'm anti-abortion too, but I am more pro-life, and I get so tired of the mainstream media. It doesn't matter, if we're pro Second Amendment, we don't get to be pro anything. We always have to be against it. And we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not that we're against it. We want these women to come to the Lord. We want these men who are involved with this to come to the Lord. We want the healthcare workers to come to the Lord. You know, as we prayed for the president and his staff, we want those unsaved staff members to see what's living inside the other folks, and it be so appealing that they want to come to the Lord. And so that's what I meant, Dean. And certainly I'm not for abortion. I am against it. And I don't mind being known as anti-abortion either. But it's just the monikers that we have to go through and some of that. Stand by.
I'd remind everybody, we just a week or so ago, we went through raising money for the different crisis pregnancy centers
through Mission Freeborn.
That they would, ladies would go in and could have an ultrasound. Even through that, one ultrasound machine was purchased through that. So we're not here just speaking the speak. We are sharing in the load of life. And I think that's so important, Jim. I wanted to say that. You know, we're not just, you know, repeating things. We are active in trying to not only save lives physically, but also through those ministries, many, many of those young women come to Christ. And we praise God for that.
All right, Dean, thanks so much for the call. Have a great weekend and enjoy church this weekend. Our friend Todd Starnes, of course, always shy and bashful about how he weighs in on things. He had this to say. It says, networks like CNN, MSNBC are more than happy to provide wall-to-wall coverage and above-the-fold headlines for so-called, quote, nasty women. But they have no interest in giving equal access to hundreds of thousands of pro-life women, the defenders of the unborn.
Way to go.
You go, Todd.
Todd, go.
That's why you're my friend right there. All right, folks, let's move along, and we're going to talk to Josh in Texas. Josh, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you, brother. I want to say God bless to you both because you both are such wonderful brethren, and I hope Alex is doing well in Flint.
Josh, let me just interrupt. Okay? He took his own water up there. Do pray for him. Okay. Flint, Michigan is one of those places that they had the water, and so I was halfway joking with Alex, but it's really not a joke. We're praying for them to have that situation about the clean water done, but do pray for him. So thank you. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, yes. You're very welcome. I agree. The thing that's contrasting between the March for Life and the previous march is that, like you mentioned, they were so well-behaved and everything, but one of the things I wanted to draw attention to is that in the previous march, there were many people that were marching that were calling Christians, and they were supporting all of the things that that we as believers really do not take a stand for. Such things as what the discussion is for abortion, and then all of the other key issues, and seem to be drawing a blank. But it's only because I've got these scriptures on my mind: 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Revelation chapter 2. About having other gods before us and things like that. It's simply because there's such a movement, it seems, to blend religions together. We have Chrislam, we're faced with Chrislam, and we have a lot of yoga being introduced into many of our churches, practicing of Hindu worship to Buddha. Things that I kind of wanted to bring some attention to,
right,
in hopes that maybe we might get some repentance in the church and draw attention that this is a Freemasonry. This is not of Christianity.
All right. Thanks, Josh. We appreciate the call this afternoon. And I think you would be interested to note that just before Bert and I came on the air this afternoon, one of the questions that we had prepared for was an email question from Leviticus. And I was talking about what happened to the sons of Aaron there.
Leviticus chapter 10, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah. No, Leviticus 2, 1 through 20?
10.
Or was it 10?
10, 1 through...
I can tell you. Let me...
What was it?
See, now you just want
me to
lie to you.
Yeah, I messed you up, man.
But either way, what I was going to say is that we're going to hopefully get to that question in just a little bit. Yes, sir. Leviticus 10, 1 through 20. Okay. There was a one in there somewhere.
There was. Well, what we have here is two guys and happen to be Aaron's sons that have been set aside as priest, but not high priest. Guess who owned that monocle? Only
Aaron.
And they took his place, and they paid the ultimate price for disobedience, and they were consumed by fire. And a lady said she had a friend that was reading that, thought that was severe judgment. It was severe judgment. But here's these two guys. They were doing something wrong. They were doing it with the wrong instrument. They was doing it at the wrong time. They were taking the places. Everything they did was wrong, Jim, if you read that.
Yeah.
And you find that in Exodus where
right.
they told them how to do it, who was to do it, and when. And on everything, they were wrong.
And that was one of the things you and I had talked about just before we came in here, is that these guys, it was a bad day for the rookies. You know, because basically they had been ordained just the day before. And they, I don't know if they slept through class and through their preparations, but it really was one of those things where they treated the Lord lightly.
They did.
And then Moses said, because, and here's the thing that's so neat about this as you read through that whole time. But here's what Moses said to Aaron in verse 3. This is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Here's a dad who's been chosen to be high priest, who could at that very moment have sinned against God, but he listened to Moses. And because of that, he held his peace, because he listened to what the Lord said. And you and I mentioned before we came on, what would happen today in our churches if some of those who as the brother there just mentioned, took some of these different things and tried to blend them. You know, Chrislam is one that he talked about, the blending of Christianity and the religion of Islam. Those are things that just don't fit.
They don't
you
mix,
don't get
do
one
they?
And one and come out with
oil
two
and
there.
Vinegar doesn't
yeah.
mix.
Let and me, it doesn't matter how much you shake it. At some point, it's going to separate back out.
The other two things more about that in Leviticus 10. One, if you read verses 9 and 10, you'll see probably that drunkenness was a part of it.
You know, I read that and I kind of wondered because
it seems like that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't, it's kind of like a disconnect. And if you connect those first eight verses with 9 and 10, because it talks of warning of using the wine in such a manner.
Right.
The other thing is why the judgment is so severe. There are several times in the Bible where it seems judgment is so severe, like Ananias and Sapphira, and they died. That's in Acts, where they lied to the Holy Spirit. I wonder what would happen today if everybody did that. Uzzah and his brother, when they were bringing the ark back to Jerusalem, you know, from David, and the ox stumbled on the new cart, and they was going to steady it, and they died immediately. There's severe punishment, it seems like, throughout the Bible at the beginning of a new era or a new ministry, Jim. And so it's showing them the importance of it. And this is one of those. This was just introduced. And so the punishment was severe. I grant you it was severe, but there's reasons behind the severity. But it does show you the holiness
Amen.
Of God. And we're treating this holy God way too lightly.
We are, and Bert, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Matthew Henry, a great Bible theologian, in his commentary, he alluded to the same thing that you did. They had been partaking in the peace offering and the drink offering, and so,
a
little too long, or they didn't have enough meat to go with the wine, either way. All right, we're going to talk, Texas seems to be popular
well,
this afternoon.
Well, it's real time for a break real close.
All right.
Can I do this before we go to
you
that?
You can. Stephen, let me put you back on hold,
okay.
And you're first in line.
I think I can do this in 40 seconds.
Uh-oh.
We had a lady to call in, or a minister, a person to ask from Word, how are we feeling toward Islamic faith? Let me just share with you. I had the opportunity to be in the home of a Arab speaking people. Last week, they treated me with so much grace. They knew what it was. They knew the gospel. They're not Christians yet, but it was
God's working on it.
God's working. Relationships don't fight the opportunity to build relationships that can lead to Christ.
Amen. Stephen, call us back. Brother, I apologize. I hit the wrong button. I didn't hit hold. Exploring the Word continues on American Family Radio.
Have you ever heard the term lament in reference to prayer? We don't do a lot of lamenting, not in our triumphant kind of worship narratives that we have today. But lamenting is a kind of protest before God. In view of the way things are, John is in heaven. They're singing and rejoicing, but he is weeping. He represents the earth, the citizen of the earth. One of the people who pray, as in Revelation 6, how long? How long before you will break into this time-space world? How long before your kingdom will assert itself? How long before your will be done? We need to learn to lament, to protest before heaven that God come, that God break in. This is Doug Small with Project Pray for OneCry.com.
American Family Association, a ministry with a mission to inform, equip, and activate people like you to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in her task of fulfilling the Great Commission. We couldn't do it without your day-to-day support. Together, we are making a difference. American Family Association. Find us online at afa.net.
By making just a few changes, you can reduce stress in your life and quiet the chaos and restore your sanity. On the next Focus on the Family, Kathy Lipp and Sherry Gregory give practical ways to organize your schedule, say no, and increase your capacity for joy. That's on the next edition of Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We're in the financial business. We manage a couple of trusts and some estates and, of course, our own monies, too.
Courtney Trotter talks about the charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation.
I understand annuities about as much as anyone, I guess, can. So I just felt the charitable gift annuity was a win-win situation for many people that still are generating income and still have assets, because you never know when you may have to draw down on something like that. And if you don't ever have to, then it's even a better gift to get to a really good foundation like AFA, a very solid investment, a good way to help do the Lord's work, and it's there to help us as well.
Find out if the charitable gift annuity can work for you by calling the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Jim Stanley in for Dr. Alex McFarland, who is speaking tonight in Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan.
And if you'd like Dr. Alex to come to your church, he's willing to do that too. Simply visit alexmcfarland.com. That's alexmcfarland.com, and you can find out how you can bring him to your church. Now, Brother Bert, you were talking about visiting some folks that were Islamic and breaking bread with them. Folks, we want you to understand, you're not going to... All right, I want to be careful how I say this. I'm not asking you to go and participate in any of their prayers or going through their prayer service with them. But if you're just going over for a meal, all right, that gives you the opportunity to minister to them. And then you can invite them to your house, and you begin to build that relationship, because what you want them to see, and Bert, I think you'll agree with this, and we've both been preachers for a long time, me not quite as long as you, you know.
I got a few years on you otherwise.
You got a couple, yeah. And so, but when you do that, folks don't want to necessarily hear the sermon. They want to see the sermon.
I'm telling you. I agree. It was a joy for me. And listen, I just tell you, don't be fearful. You know, don't let fear dominate. There's a story that I tell when Jan and I go places, and I share about going visiting a family, and they had a dog that came around and laid its muzzle across the bridge of my foot. And it was a Doberman, and they didn't invite us in, so we visited on the porch. and it was time to leave, the guy that was with me prayed. I looked at the dog, you know. I was praying too, and it was time for me to leave, and I was going to move my foot, and that dog's mouth was still there. And so I asked him, I said, sir, your dog hasn't tried to bite me, but I just don't want to take a chance. Would you call your dog?
He hadn't given you permission to leave
yet. No, he hadn't. And he bent down. He said, come here, boy. Come here, Satan. Come here. And named the dog Satan. But it sure is how fear in Satan will paralyze us.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't be afraid to, you know, be strong enough in your faith. I hope you're strong enough. If you're not strong enough in your faith, you need to grow.
Amen.
And then do it.
Amen.
But don't let fear dominate you.
Sounds good. All right, Stephen, as promised, I apologize, sir. I accidentally hung up on you when I went to put you on hold, but you managed to get back in during the break. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thanks. And I'll forgive you for hanging up on me.
I appreciate it.
I had a couple of things I wanted to talk to y'all about. First of all, I really appreciate what y'all do, and I think it's great listening to you talk about Leviticus, some of the harder things, you know, to digest in the Bible. And I think that we've kind of gotten soft as Christians, and if we don't think of Jesus as the teddy bear, we forget, you know, that, you know, he's overturning tables at the temple and driving them out with whips. So I think it's great that we need to, you know, we need to talk about that.
Amen.
Let me make a statement. Stephen, let me make a comment on that. I got to comment on everything, but I do. It's like Carl Sandburg said about Abraham Lincoln, steel in velvet. When it came time to deal with individuals, Abraham Lincoln was like velvet. But when it came time for him to say, this nation will be one nation under God, he was steel. And when I look at Jesus Christ, there are some things. When he dealt with some people that were seeking for him, the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery, that velvet, there's difference in soft and velvet, but he knew how to treat her. But he was strong when he was telling the Pharisees, you're like sepulchers. You're looking good on the outside, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. So we need that kind of spirit in our life, Stephen. So I had to comment on what you just said. Go ahead,
Amen.
Brother.
I think that's good. And I kind of wanted to go back to the pro-life march and everything. And I thought it was so great that our, you know, Vice President Pence and his involvement in it and then Trump's endorsement, I think it's great. I've never really expected that, you know, from a presidential, you know, considering where we were at, like November 7th. I was kind of worried about Hillary getting in there. And then the other part of that is we need to watch out for people like Whoopi Goldberg. And I've noticed a lot of people on the left, when they start using our terms or changing their terms, you know, like she's trying to say she's pro-life because she doesn't want death, they're up to something sneaky. And I think they're trying to, they see that we're doing good with that term, so they're going to try to take it down.
Amen, Stephen. What we do, again, Jesus, we need to be, you know, sharp or smart as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to know what the world is doing. We need to understand their times, understand their communication, but we still need to have the Spirit of Christ in dealing with everything. I hear a lot today, you know, we're not called to be nice, and that's true, but we still are to be kind. Niceness has the idea of avoiding something. In other words, I want to be nice, so I'm going to avoid that subject. Kindness is not avoiding it, but when you do come up, you treat it and you treat the person with respect. And that's what the left doesn't do. They cannot treat the subject right, so they're going to attack the individual. We don't need to do that. We don't go after the individual. We're doing our best to look at the issue. And that's the biblical way, and that's what Exploring the Word. That's what we try to do, and hope we do it in a sufficient way. So, Stephen, thank you. Let's go to North Carolina and talk to Paul. Paul, welcome to Exploring the Word. Paul, are you there?
Paul, go ahead and turn your radio down for us,
yeah.
And that way you'll hear us.
Okay, you got me now?
Yes.
Yeah, you're on, brother.
All right, a couple of questions. The first one, the differences in the translations of the Bible. You know, growing up, I just remember King James Version. Since then, we've got King James Version, New King James Version, NIV. Is there a lot of big differences in the different translations as far as, you know, the reason I'm asking, I went and got birthday or Christmas presents for my kids. You know, one of my kids is young, 10 years old. We got him like a child's version, and, you know, I wanted something a little easier for him to read without all the vowels and B's and stuff. Just wondering if it's way off.
Okay, that's
Paul,
a good question.
That is a good question. Let me say this. I am not a King James only guy. There are some out there, and we bless them. Here's the thing. If that Bible is helping you grow closer to the Lord, and it's not a what's called a paraphrased edition, then you're generally in pretty good shape. You look at the New King James Version. You look at the New International Version. Now, not the latest release of that, where they've done it in quote-unquote today's language, but the original NIV version that goes back, I think, what, Bert, to the mid-80s?
I think so, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And so, and that's a really good version. In fact, that's the version that was in the Baptist Sunday School material for years as their source. And then they came along and the NIV folks were worried about the copyright provisions and they were going to have to increase the fees. And so the Southern Baptist came up with the Holman Christian Standard Version.
It is a great
translation. It's an incredible.
It really is.
And it puts it in today's language.
Let me just come in here. We got someone that emailed us not long ago. It was talking about the versions and everything. And I wrote, you know, when I speak, sometimes I'm long-winded, Jim, but when I write, I'm very short most of the time. I just don't. My fingers do not do the walking really well. But let me share this with you. I do believe that the translations and the number of translations we have today, I understand why it's confusing. I would love to do this, and I'm missional on this. I wish some of the money that was spent, and this is just me talking, Brent and Jim and Paul, but I wish some of that money that was spent on getting New English translations would be spent translating some of those that are unreached people groups who do not have any kind of Bible in their own language, because we've got some good translations. The ESV, the English Standard Version, is excellent. I'd say that if I were looking one for my children, I'd go the ESV route right now.
That's a good one.
It really is. And I use the New King James, and I can tell you why I do. Paul, your children is not the only one that has problems with the these and the vowels and vines. Bert Harper does. I also have trouble with runneth and keepeth, and I do have a little bit of a speech impediment. So when the New King James Version came along, I tell people why I use it. I had memorized in the King James, and when I'd try to read a familiar passage, the NIV or New American Standard, it was like a battle going over in my brain. Which one was I going to say, the one I was looking at or the one that I had memorized?
Right.
But when the New King James Version, there was so little difference except some of those words. I did not have that battle in my brain. So there's some good translations out there. If I was getting one for my children or grandchildren, I'd look at the ESV.
Amen. All right, Paul, there you go, brother. Hope that helped a little bit. Have a great weekend, and thank you for calling. We're going to talk to Jamie now, calling from Texas. Jamie, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, thanks. I wanted to start out with God bless you for what you do, and I really feel like I need you guys to help me out with something today.
We'll do our best.
I'm having a kind of a problem with when to worship the Sabbath and when the Sabbath actually is.
Okay, let me just make one statement, Jamie. We get this all the time. I don't mean to cut you off, but we know this. Let me just share with you very quickly. Jesus is our Sabbath. He is the one. The first day of the week is when Jesus was raised, and kind of the Christians went from the Sabbath to the resurrection, okay? The Sabbath was resting from what God had made. As the New Testament came along and the New Testament believers there, they worshiped as they said, listen, we're not just looking and resting at what God has done concerning creation, concerning the worship. We are thankful for the resurrection day, which is the first day of the week that Jesus rose again. I don't think it's kind of like a tithe. I tell people up there, if you're a penny off on your tithe, I don't think God, I'm got to withhold them. They didn't give one penny enough. Your heart was right. You know, worshiping. I know churches that are having to work on to worship on Saturday night because too many of their people are working on Sunday because they've got jobs with the police department, fire department, the hospitals, and with companies, and they don't have a Sunday to worship on, so they go to the worship on Saturday. The Sabbath was set aside for worship. Remember this one word. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So worship God, and I enjoy Sundays. I enjoy Sunday morning worship. I do. But if I had a job, man, I'd appreciate Saturday night worship and worship with no regret at all, Jim. Jamie, I cut you off on that. I think I answered it, though. Jim, you got anything to add to that?
No, sir, I don't. I think that was very well said. And, Jamie, I hope that did help you with that.
Hey, if I cut him off and he had some more, they can get us at word@afr.net, and we'd love to hear from you, brother.
All right, Jacqueline calling from Louisiana. Jacqueline, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, hello. Thank you for your program. I'm trying to get an understanding. This is the way I understand about life and death. And it's both personal opinion. And if I'm wrong, let me know. I believe God gives life. And if he gives life, I believe he takes it, but to base my belief in Sodom and Gomorrah, he brought fire and brimstone and killed most of all of them in Sodom and Gomorrah. But in Job, he allowed Satan to attack Job, but he tells Satan, you can't take his life. So help me. Help me to understand.
Right. That's good. That's
Thank
a great
you,
question, Jacqueline. We're going to let you listen on your radio. Brother Bert, when that question is asked, there are times that God, even with the children of Israel, as they were going through the desert, there were times and they would murmur and complain and he would open up the ground and they would be consumed. There were times, other times, but it's not just God who can kill. In fact, Jesus in Matthew 10:28 says, "Do not fear those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And, you know, when we think about that, we look at the destruction because we live in a fallen world. And the sin that takes place around us, and some of those who commit murder, we're not to fear them. And so again, we're not saying that there are not times in the Old Testament that God has taken life, and there are times in the New Testament when he's also, because a little earlier you
Ananias
talked
and Sapphira. Yeah.
And so there are biblical explanations for when you see that happen, but by and large, we're not to fear the one that can kill the body. But we are to fear the one who can kill the body and soul and cast us into hell.
Amen. Jim, I would say this. As far as taking life, you know, no individual, mm-hmm. as I understand it, has that right, okay, to take a life.
Right.
In the days of the judges, when it was no king and they were supposed to be ruled by the word of God, they had what they call kinsman redeemer. We talked about that yesterday in the book of Ruth,
mm-hmm.
you know, kinsman redeemer. He was also called the avenger of blood. And they had the cities of refuge where people could go if they had accidentally cut. But it was through a society protecting itself. I understand the issue of capital punishment taking life. But I would say this, I think it should be very reluctant to do
yeah.
so. Very reluctant. I do believe in it,
right.
but very reluctant to
Amen.
Do so. Because basically, God gives life, God takes life. If you go by that, I think it's a good principle.
Absolutely. And remember in the Ten Commandments where it says, "Thou shalt not kill, the truer translation there is, "Thou shalt not commit murder."
Exactly.
So there are times that you may have to defend yourself or your family. And there may be times that you have to fight in war. Those are acceptable times, but they are any life is to be reverent.
And that is in the society of protecting
itself. All right, we got to go. Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Stick around. Washington Watch is next on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.